The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Well, thank you for that, Janine and team. And over this sermon series in Peter, I'm picking up a few little catchphrases that I want to make part of my everyday life. Right-sizing you, that's good. And living good. Not good grammar, but I want that. That's fantastic. Our passage today is 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 17. So if you've got your Bibles, can you open there for us, please? If you don't have your Bible, or a way to access a Bible, I will have some words on the screen so you won't miss out. Now is the time to turn there and have it ready so you can follow on this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8, this is the word of the Lord for us today. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Thank you, Clinton, for saving me there. I said I'd have the words on the screen. I've got the little driver here, and I took my hand off the steering wheel and just left you be. Thank you, mate. You're a blessing. When I was a young fellow, I come from a family of like seven of us. When I was a young fella, we all crammed into our Ford Spectrum van and made a road trip from here north of Brizzy, just at Strathpine, up to Cairns. Along the way, it's going to take a few days, along the way we stopped in at different places to say good day to family or friends that we knew. And we stopped at one place, and it was where our great Uncle Eric lived. Us kids hadn't met Uncle Eric before. We didn't know what he looked like. And we see this old bloke riding along on a scooter. And he had a newspaper down the front of his shirt to sort of stop the breeze from chilling him too much. And we just start laughing. Wouldn't that be funny? Yeah, it was funny. That was great, Uncle Eric. He was a character. So we go back to Uncle Eric's place. And my dad, being the servant that he was, asks Uncle Eric, "What can I do?" And Uncle Eric's reply, he replied in a bit of a poetic way. He said, "Sit down, shut up, and behave yourself." And we weren't allowed to say shut up in our house, and I might even get in trouble for saying shut up from the pulpit now. What can I do? How can I help? What part can I play here? Sit down. Shut up. Behave yourself. Now I've said it a few times, so I better stop. Our passage this morning reminds me of that interaction. That when we come into relationship with Jesus, we naturally want to know what we can do. We want to play our part. We want to know where to start in all that. And whilst God's response might not be poetic in the same way that my Uncle Eric's was, he does tell us what we are to do. Actually, it might not be too dissimilar to my Uncle Eric's response. Let's start with verse 8. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. Now, I'm going to make some slight adjustments to how that reads. So just bear with me. Not much has changed. The same words, but there's slightly different emphasis, I hope you can pick up. Some punctuation has changed. Now, my hope in doing this is to highlight that these characteristics that Peter is mentioning, like-minded, sympathetic, that brotherly love for one another, compassion, humility, these are all adjectives that describe the life of believers and the community that we are a part of. It describes what we are, not what we are working to become. I've taken the B's out. Peter's saying, this is what you are. Like-minded, sympathetic, compassionate, humble, loving. This is what you are in Christ. That describes those who live good, who are able to do this as a result of having our lives transformed by God's Spirit indwelling us when we come to put our faith in Him. When a person puts their trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit automatically, immediately starts His recreating and transforming work in their lives. Now, let me be clear. We all have a part to play in our sanctification. That's what this message is about, really. But I don't want us to fall into a trap of overemphasizing our part and diminishing the Spirit's part. Let's look again at these verses. And this time, our part is shown in green. The Spirit's part is shown in blue. See, the blue stuff has happened. It is happening. And it will happen as a result of the Spirit's work. We really just need to take our hands off and allow the Holy Spirit to do that transforming work in us. We've talked about Zacchaeus this morning. I want to bring up another New Testament character, Lazarus. Friends, we were all like Lazarus in that tomb when God called our name. Like Lazarus, we contribute nothing to our salvation. We contribute nothing to God's calling us in Christ. And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of who? Of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Like children, we contribute nothing to the inheritance that we receive in Christ. Having made no contributions to establish it, no investments in its growth, and giving nothing to make us worthy of it, we receive an inheritance from God. Jesus calls, we inherit. That's it. That's grace. And whilst we might be okay with our salvation being God's work and not ours, how do we go with seeing our sanctification that way, our character formation that way? Whose part is it to shape your character to look more like Jesus? Whose work is it that transforms our daily lives, day in, day out, to reflect the character of our Saviour? Well, the truth is, friends, it's all God's work. We just need to let Him do it. The more we submit ourselves to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and make us sympathetic, the more sympathetic we will become. The more we allow the Spirit to work in making us loving towards one another, the more loving towards one another we will become. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in making us people of compassion, the more compassionate we will become. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in humbling us, the more humble we will become. It's His work. We do have a part to play, though. Look at the green words here. As you think about those green words, they remind you of another part in the New Testament where similar words are used. An eye for an eye was the standard given to the Israelites in Exodus 21. And it was given to them in order to put a limit on how far reparations could go so that payback didn't keep escalating. Someone else talks about it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's almost as though Peter has the Sermon of the Mount fresh in his mind as he's writing this part of the letter. See, we can follow other themes, the themes of blessing, inheritance, peace, doing good instead of evil, and righteousness in the face of slander. We can trace that to the start of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Same for those when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Jesus. You're blessed. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Friends, whilst repaying evil with blessing might be our part, it's actually not where we start. Where do we start? Well, let's continue with the passage. Peter goes on, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." There's a lot more green in that section, isn't there? Are we getting there? Playing our part is work that requires every part of us to be actively involved. Now, if I can ask you to indulge me again while I make a few other adjustments up there, I'm just going to add a couple of alternate ways to understand some of the verbs, the underlined words there. And I do this because I think it sort of helps us group some of these things together into sections, and sections that involve different areas of the body. The first three there, I suggest they relate to the head. Love life, or you might say, value highly, be satisfied with. See good days, or to know them firsthand. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. That's like saying, stop it. Imagine a situation that you're involved in a situation, and as you're speaking or someone else is speaking, you recognize that's what's being said by you, maybe even by others, but by you, isn't true. Peter says, stop. Well, if you recognize that the motivation behind what you're saying is to harm or to pull down, Peter says, stop your tongue. Disengage your lips. Makes it hard to talk, doesn't it? Makes it hard to keep going with that evil, right? Stop your tongue. Disengage your lips. We've got to have our heads in the game, friends. The next couple, I'd suggest, we can group together to relate to our hands. To turn from evil. It's like saying, steer clear. We all steer clear of some things coming here this morning. Steer clear from evil. I like that imagery. It says, don't just drive head first into something that's going to cause damage. When you see you're heading towards it, swerve out the way. Turn, make a correction. don't keep going. The next one, do good or make good. Picture making something with your hands. There's a crafting, a forming to this process, isn't there? Making good will take our time, our focus, our skills. We've got to get our hands in the game. The last two I'd suggest relate to our feet. To seek peace or to look for it, to strive for peace. To pursue it, to get after it. It's like playing hide and go seek tag. Not just a good enough, so I found you. It's like, no, you've got to get after it. Chase it down. There's a real sense that peace requires physical exertion. It will take endurance, effort, sweat on our behalf. Now, whilst turning from evil, doing good, and pursuing peace might be our part, it's still not where we start. Stay with me, we're going to get to the heart of it. And that is a pun. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness, that's also the word humility, and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Don't forget who is writing this letter, friends. This is Peter. Peter is the disciple who denied Jesus three times because he feared men. This is the same Peter who, after seeing the resurrected Christ Jesus, then stood in front of those he had feared and spoke boldly, declaring Christ as Lord. And where does Peter say that our part starts? It starts with revering Christ as Lord in our heart. That word revere there means to set apart, to sanctify, to make holy, to give a special place. That special place has got to go to Jesus. The sense of what Peter is saying here is that in our hearts, we need above all to be dedicated, totally devoted to Jesus. Jesus should occupy the position of ultimate authority as Lord of our lives. Jesus should be the object of our affection, the commander of our attention, the subject of our devotion. For us to be able to play our part, Jesus needs to be number one in our heart. If we are to live a transformed life, it can only come from a transformed heart. If we're going to be a people who repay evil with blessing, who love life and see good days, who turn from evil, who keep our tongues from deceitful speech, who do good, who pursue peace, Christ must be Lord in our hearts. Friends, don't start those other fights until you have that one right. Don't start trying to change your ways until He is King in here. Setting apart Christ as Lord in his heart was the secret of Peter's own transformation from Christ denier to Christ highlighter. Peter went from fearing the accusations of a maidservant to himself accusing the Jewish religious heavyweights of crucifying their Messiah. Setting apart Christ as Lord in their hearts was the secret that allowed so many Christians in the early church to remain faithful to Jesus when faced with torture and death at the hands of their persecutors. If this is where we are to start, poses the question, how do we revere Christ as Lord in our hearts? I'm going to keep it real simple. Ask yourself, what does your heart currently revere? A second, what is the object of your affection? What is it that commands your attention each day? Is it your mortgage or a financial goal that you've got? Is that what gets you out of bed in the morning? Maybe it's something to do with your work or your study. That's what makes you wipe the sleep from your eyes. Maybe it's something to do with relationships, your social life, or a particular friendship that you have or that you want to have. Is that what commands your attention each day? Friends, the good news for us is that it is possible for our hearts to be recalibrated. If there is something else other than Jesus that currently sits on the throne of your heart, there is a way to change that. Look at Jesus. Ask him to show you who he really is. And after you pray to him and ask him to show you who he truly is, pick this thing up. If you don't own a copy, there's some out in the foyer that are free for you to take. Lord, show yourself to me. And then open, I would suggest, to a gospel. I would say start with the gospel of Mark or John or Luke, something like that. And with your heart crying out to Jesus to say, reveal yourself to me, read. And see who he reveals himself to be. Allow the Holy Spirit to start or to reignite that transforming work in your life. And when Jesus is Lord, that's when you can start to play your part. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful and humbled to be reminded, Father, that You are the power. The Lord Jesus, you have stood at the entrance of to the tomb of our lives and you have called us by name. That you give us life so that we would see good days, whatever they might appear to be. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have made a way for this relationship to exist. And you have empowered us through your Spirit to be able to play our part. But Lord Jesus, I pray that as we ask you to reveal yourself, whether for the first time, for the 31st time, to us, the Lord, we will know that you will. You will show up. You will call us out. You will give us your Spirit. And you will teach us how to live. You will enable us to live good for you. Jesus, I pray because I know that every prayer that is going to be offered for you to reveal yourself, to show yourself to people today, will be answered. So Jesus, I pray that you will spark that prayer. Agitate our hearts. Reveal what's currently on our throne. And recalibrate us today, I pray.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.